Hey everyone, welcome back. I hope everyone had a good lunch. Our next speaker today is a high school math teacher who runs the awesome blog, The Friendly Atheist. He talks a lot about youth activism, and whenever I hear something about like a group starting in high schools or colleges, I always see it from your blog first, so it's very informative. So without further ado, here's Hemant Mehta.
Thanks.
All right. Can everyone hear me okay? All right, good. So I want to tell you the story. A few years ago, I visited a whole bunch of Christian churches, and I wrote about it in this book called I Sold My Soul on eBay. That's a whole nother story. After that book came out, I got this really interesting email from this student who said, hey, I go to a really pretty conservative Christian college in the South, and every year we try to bring in a speaker whose beliefs basically go against that of the student body. We think it's interesting to hear, you know, different points of view. So a couple years ago, we brought in a feminist. Last year, we brought in a local Democrat, and we figured, let's bring in an atheist. That'd be interesting. So can you come and talk to us about your time visiting churches? So, cool. And then he's like, P.S., I'm an atheist too. He said he went there because his dad taught at the college and he gets free tuition, so might as well stick it out for a few years, graduate, and then go do whatever. And that's exactly what he's doing now. He's doing whatever. So I went there and realized if his school finds out he's an atheist, he could be expelled. So not a lot of people knew his little secret there. But he had like one or two close friends who knew, one professor who knew. They were pretty hush-hush about it, so it was okay. But I met one of his friends. She was a Christian. She taught at a Sunday school. And she said, you know, at the Sunday school I teach at, and we're talking about this because I'm a teacher, she's a teacher in that sense, she says the curriculum, you know, I got to do what the church says I got to teach these kids. She teaches like eight-year-olds. But, you know, when they tell me you got to teach them this, I get a little bit of leeway in terms of how I present the lesson. So the lesson that she was told to present is the church gave her a whole bunch of gingerbread men cutouts. And they said, teach the eight-year-olds, have the eight-year-olds draw what a Christian looks like. Yeah. And she's like, "That you can't do that because Christians don't all look the same." And they're like, uh-huh, here's some more gingerbread men. And then have all the kids draw what a non-Christian looks like. Yeah, right. So you know where I'm going with this. So she's trying to explain to these eight-year-olds, you can't know what someone believes just by looking at them. You've got to have a conversation with them. You have to talk to them. That doesn't matter if you're Christian or not a Christian. You've got to talk to them. She tried to explain this, but they're eight. So afterwards, she saved me one of the kids' drawings, thinking I might appreciate it. So according to this child, this is what a Christian looks like. He has a banana in his hand. It's like Ray Comfort's dream. Has a banana, it's saying, I love God. It's holding a cross. Look at the clothes, nicely tucked in, all nicely colored in. Hair nicely combed. Freckles, because that's a Christian thing. So that's what happens when you have Christ. And when you don't have Christ, same child. Yeah, so let's break this thing down. Apparently, clothes. What's going on with this clothes? He's not even like wearing complete clothes, just scribbled in there angrily. He ripped off the sleeves of his shirt in anger. He has tattoos sticking out of his skin, because that's what we do. Drugs, he's smoking something, piercings down the side of his like face. Who needs to comb their hair when they don't believe in God? I don't know. And, of course, the unibrow. That's really... Okay, but here's the thing. This kid is eight. Nobody is sitting this kid down and saying, let me tell you what an atheist looks like, because everyone in this room looks like that. No one's sitting this kid down. His parents aren't doing that. His pastor's not doing that. So where is this kid picking up this stuff? it's coming from somewhere, even if it's not directly stated. This is the implication that is given off in a lot of churches, that if you believe in God, you're good. If you don't, you're that guy. And this is the thing. These kids are going to grow up. They're going to go to college. And, you know, they meet a lot of people, like the people from every college atheist group in the country. You run into people. You know, the Ask an Atheist Day was a week or two ago. How many people came up to these tables and they're like, I can ask an atheist something? It's a little shocking because that's what they think an atheist is. I realize this may be just be one kid. Maybe it's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's not that far from the truth. People don't know that atheists are normal. You know, it seems weird to say, but they don't. So realize this is the stereotype of all of us who are atheists are really up against in the world, that people think we are bad people. We're immoral. We can't do good things. And it's our job to try to, you know, downplay that. It's our job to show them, no, we can be good. But this is hard to counter in college. But the students who have been part of an atheist group know that this is the image we gotta combat. It's even harder when you're in high school and these discussions don't happen all the time. Like, people get this idea that, oh my God, if there's someone in my class who doesn't believe in God, there's no philosophical discussion taking place. And it's even worse when it's all as clicky as it is in high school. So I wanna show a video. I wanna tell you the story of this girl who did something really radical. She went against basically her entire school, her teachers, her friends, and she saw something that was wrong. She didn't want to take part in it. And because she took a stand against it, she was ostracized as a result. That's a brave thing for anyone to do, much less a high school student. Who am I talking about? No, I'm not talking about Jessica Ahlquist. Because that story has happened time and time again. So let me play the story. The story I'm going to show you is about a girl named Nicole. It actually happened about 6 years ago. And maybe you haven't heard of it because, and if you haven't heard of it, it's probably because it didn't get as much airplay, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the one thing that did happen is when you hear Nicole's story, 2020 heard her story, and they did a segment on it. That's where I'm taking this video from. And we'll talk about it in a second. I'm not a really emotional person, but this is hard to watch. So I'll just play it for you, and we'll take it from there.
Then came basketball season. But at the first game, everything changed, because after the game, the girls gathered to recite the Lord's Prayer.
I didn't think they had religion in sport, but when it came to basketball, they would pray before and after practices. They would pray during games. And, you know, praying was a tradition for them, and that's what they said.
Even the other team joins in. And from the stands, school officials too, says Nicole.
All the teachers that work at that school, the administration, have their heads bowed and they're saying the Lord's Prayer with the kids. Coach has his head bowed. It's a thing that everyone does.
It was uncomfortable for Nicole because she's an atheist.
So did you say, no, I'm an atheist, I won't do that?
Well, I told the coach, I was like, oh, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist. So he's like, go to the locker room then.
Nicole says once she said she was an atheist,
your relationship with the other kids changed.
Yeah. Sorry to talk
about it. It's all right. I remember too, I cried too. And I don't like that. It's
just
students called her names, she says.
You know, they would call me devil worshiper. I'd walk down halls, people would laugh at me. They would look at me really weird and stare me down.
Then she says teachers joined in.
What would they say?
This is a Christian country, and if you don't like it, get out.
When the kids hear a teacher say when she goes to the bathroom, I hate that girl, what are you telling the kids at the school? That's a gang, man. Religious gang.
School administrators kicked Nicole off the basketball team. They said she was bad for team morale and that she'd stolen another student's sneakers.
Did you take the other girl's shoe?
No, I borrowed it from her, and people saw me give it back to her, and she said thank you.
You were late to practice nearly every day.
Actually, I was early to practice every day, and I ran my laps before the coach got there.
A year later, Nicole was allowed back on the team. This time, when the prayer started, Nicole stayed outside the circle.
And so I just stood outside of it and said the Pledge of Allegiance.
Without the under God.
Without the under God.
The next school day, she was suspended. Fearing for their daughter's safety at school, Nicole's parents decided to homeschool all three of their kids. In place of sports, Nicole now focuses more time on music. She taught herself to play classical piano. And she joined with her dad and brother to start a family. They're getting paid gigs.
I miss school, but I don't want to go back to that school. I tried going back to that school for 2 days, and I couldn't handle it. And there was a new kid there, so he's like, oh, I heard about you. You're that dirty little troublemaking atheist.
So for now, Nicole's dreams are on hold.
So that happened. That happened in our country. That happened in Oklahoma, but it happened, like, it happens. The good news is she's actually doing much better now. She graduated. She has a singing career. She's doing really well. But think about how hard it must have been to be in her shoes, to take a stand like that against your team, against your school. There's a book out by this author, Catherine Stewart, about a Christian club called the Good News Club. And she actually references Nicole in there. And she says, you know, for every person like Nicole, how many people just sit there and mumble the words and just go along with the crowd? And I'm going to the last sentence here. They have learned they have to pray to play, because that's kind of what it takes. You can't be the outcast. You can't be the atheist at these high schools. You have to just do what everyone else says, even if that means pretending to believe in a God that you don't believe in. That's what we're trying to stop from happening. Now, this happened 6 years ago. That was before blogs became a big deal in our world anyway. That's before the Secular Students, Secular Student Alliance, before the Center for Inquiry really got involved with campus groups. When I started working with the Secular Student Alliance, we actually, we had a bunch of groups, but if you can look, at the far left of this chart is the fall of 2005, about 7 years ago. There's about 50-some groups. Over the next few years, we're getting closer and closer to like over 300. There's like 370 now. So that's a nice growth. It's still growing, and I'm sure Liz is going to talk about that later. The growth is happening. Now look at what's happening at the high school level. This is going from the fall of 2007. For most of this past few years, there's been under 10 groups in the country registered. At least we know about them. They're connected with us somehow. Under 10. And then last year, hey, look, we broke the barrier of 10. We're at like 13. But then the SSA did something really cool. You heard from JT Eberhardt earlier. They hired JT and they said, you're a high school specialist when it comes to campus organizing. And that definitely helps when you have someone attuned to the problems that are unique at a high school. And even though, as much as I'd love to, I'm not going to totally credit JT for this, but I think he plays a huge role in this. I want you to see what happened. I don't have the number from fall of 2011, but we do have the numbers from spring of this year. Here's what's happened since. Yeah, that's awesome. That number has shot up, and that's just the beginning, because I'm sure that's going to spring up. Now, why has that happened? And, you know, as much as great as that looks, where did all that support come from over the past few years? Because you talk about Nicole, most people haven't heard her story. But I mentioned, like, the same setup, and you all know Jessica Ahlquist. How does that sort of thing happen? So a couple things are happening. The media is our friend when it comes to this. This is a story that appeared in the New York Times last year. It's about Rutherford High School in Florida. There's no news here other than the fact that an atheist group exists at the high school. That's the story. But it's in the New York Times. They have a really nice couple of pictures of the group. And I want to call out two quotations in particular. The first one, there are students who don't want their parents to know they belong to an atheist club. I tell my mother I'm at Ocean Club. I didn't even know that was a thing, but all right. I mean... And another one, another member whose father's in the Navy said she asked that her name not be used for fear it would hurt her father. I don't want us to grow apart over this. Okay, so here's the thing about this appearing in the New York Times. This goes to a lot of places. People read this stuff, and they realize this is a unique challenge that a lot of high school atheists have to deal with. And the big difference between the high school kids and the college kids, because I know a lot of college students can't tell their parents that they don't believe in God either, but the unique thing is these high schoolers have to live with their parents. They are under their parents' roof. That's a totally different challenge that they have to contend with. But when you see stories like this in the mainstream media, that's awesome. That gets this narrative out there that this is a challenge that we got to deal with. Another story that happened, this is about a student in Houston He wanted to start an atheist group. He couldn't do it. The school administration kept saying no. At one point, the principal said he could have the club. Just call it a philosophy club. And don't affiliate with the Secular Student Alliance. Because, you know, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at high school is told, just tell them you're like the people who like Tim Tebow. Like, that doesn't happen. So what happened? Again, Secular Student Alliance contacts USA Today. And they're like, hey, you know what? Reporters love to report about conflict. Here's a beautiful conflict story, atheists in high school. We got a story for you. This kid can't form a group. USA Today calls the principal. Why can't he have, or they email him. Why can't he have a group? Next day, why can't he have a group? Next day, why can't he have a group? Eventually, the principal's like, he can have his club. And this is the way they reported it. After a request for comment, they gave him his club. Awesome. Again, how hard is it? What is this kid asking for that's so out of the ordinary? I want to have a group for other atheists to meet. If it was a Jewish group, if it was a Hindu group, it wouldn't have been an issue. But because it's an atheist group, this is a conflict story. This one's more recent. This is a girl named Crystal Myers in Tennessee. She wrote an editorial for her high school paper about how atheist rights seem to be getting trampled on. And it seemed like a pretty good editorial. It wasn't like a hate piece. It wasn't an attack on other students. But it's saying, look at the stuff atheists have to deal with. Her school officials said, you can't publish that in the school paper. Again, hey, reporters, check this out. Hey, school, why can't she publish her paper? Like, no comment from the school. So what does the Knoxville News Sentinel do? Not only do they report this story, later on they're like, hey, Crystal, we'll publish your piece in our paper. So, awesome. So, every time there's these conflicts happening, the media loves it because they're on the side of conflict. I'm not saying they're on the atheist side, but they're on the side of getting a good story. These are compelling stories because all these atheist students are doing something right and they're doing something legal, and there's no reason they should be stopped from doing it. And so, hey, if anything ever happens, I'm telling you, hey, you can definitely tell, you know, atheist bloggers, tell PZ, tell me. I mean, tell anybody. We'll be happy to tell a story. But contact the local papers. Contact the news. Tell them what's going on because they'll be interested. And not only that, atheism seems to be getting a better play in the media. I'm going to show you a clip from a popular TV show. I just want to point out, not that, like, the dialogue is that new to anybody in this audience, but the fact that it appears on one of the hottest shows on TV, you never would have seen that a few years ago. So this is a clip from Glee.
Your voice is stunning, but I don't believe in God.
Wait, what?
You've all professed your beliefs, so I'm just stating mine. I think God is kind of like Santa Claus for adults. Otherwise, God's kind of a jerk, isn't he? I mean, he makes me gay and then has his followers going around telling me it's something that I chose, as if someone would choose to be mocked every single day of their life. And right now, I don't want a heavenly father. I want my real one back.
But Kurt, how do you know for sure? I mean, you can't prove that there's no God.
You can't prove that there isn't a magic teapot floating around on the dark side of the moon with a dwarf inside of it that reads romance novels and shoots lightning out of its boobs, but it seems pretty unlikely, doesn't it?
Is God an evil dwarf?
We shouldn't be talking like this. It's not right.
I'm sorry, Quinn. But you all can believe whatever you want to. But I can't believe something I don't. I appreciate your thoughts. But I don't want your prayers.
Cool. When would you have seen that on TV, like way back when? But it's a compelling character, and that's a likable character on that show. It's not like he's like House MD, who's not a very likable character. But that's a guy a lot of people like. So, cool, that stuff's happening. Not only that, but you have people talking about this stuff now. If Nicole's story happened today, can you imagine what would happen? Like, not only would everyone know about it, there would be, like, if we needed people to show up at a school board meeting in Oklahoma, like, oh, man, we would get people there. We could do stuff. That didn't happen then, but it's happening now, and I'm sure some of these stories you have heard of. Damon Fowler tried to protest a graduation prayer in Louisiana. And the fact that he even made a big, he told the principal, you know, you shouldn't have prayers at the graduation, so please remove them, basically. And the principal's like, and he alerted the ACLU. They got involved, too. And Damon's right. They shouldn't have this prayer, and no matter how they finagled it, like, it's still wrong. But what happened when he did this, his parents basically kicked him out of the house. But what happened? People wanted to help this kid out, because how can you not feel for someone who's doing the right thing and then getting crap in the process? So we started the reason I probably got involved, I was interested in the story. This is a story that appeared in the local paper. It talks about a teacher, a staff at the high school for 25 years, look at the bottom. And what's even more sad is this is a student who hasn't really contributed anything to graduation or to their classmates. All right, I've been a high school teacher for 5 years. There are plenty of students I'm not a fan of. I would never trash them in the media. But that's what they did, and they felt like this is a perfectly normal thing to do. And this is like a teacher who's very popular, I guess, in the school district. Like, she's not some random anomaly from everyone. But it's okay to trash him because he's an atheist, right? So that's when I wanted to get involved. We started a fundraiser on my website. A lot of people were willing to help out, and ultimately we raised over $30,000 for a college scholarship for Damon, which is awesome. Damon is going to be starting a community college this fall, if all goes well, and it looks like he's living with his brother in Texas. It looks like things are getting a lot better for him, so yay for that. And then the story we mentioned earlier, you guys have heard of Jess Galquist's story. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but how many people pitched in different ways? I saw someone wearing a Evil Little Thing sweater. Yes, awesome. Yes, when a state senator talked about how she challenged a prayer banner in her high school, he called her an evil little thing. Just like Nicole was called, what, the dirty little troublemaking atheist. But instead of just taking it, people fought back. I don't know if this is JT's doing or Free Thought Blog's doing, but they started hey, fine, we'll take that thing you insulted us with and we'll raise money for a scholarship out of it. So they raised money with evil little thing t-shirts. On my website, we decided, hey, let's do another fundraiser. People chipped in again. What's really cool is almost 2,000 people pitched in a little bit. And one guy even emailed me. He's like, I have $5,000 I want to give to her. I don't want to go through your website. Can you tell me what I can do? I'm like, yeah, you could send it to this place, and we'll take care of it. So overall, this time, they raised, this says 48, but we actually raised about $62,000 when you included the shirts. When you included the shirts, when you included the guy's really generous donation and everyone who pitched in on the website, it was like $62,000. And I was lucky enough to be able to give her a check at the Reason Rally a few weeks ago. That was really cool. But here's the thing. When this stuff happens now, her story is no more, no less extraordinary than these things that happened in the past. But now we're ready. We're ready to fight this stuff. We're able to get the word out about these stories. We're able to come down on these school officials when we need to. That's an awesome thing that wasn't there before, that's in place now, and we need to keep that going. And I want to show you one clip just to show you. You saw Nicole's thing. It seemed like, even in that clip with John Stossel, it seems like Nicole is just kind of alone in the world. And she doesn't, you know, besides her family, it doesn't look like she has a lot of support. I want to show you a clip. Jessica did an interview on CNN after all this stuff happened, just to show, like, how poised she is, but it looks like she has a lot of support, and she talks about that. And one reference they make is even local florists, when FFRF, Freedom from Religion Foundation, wanted to send her flowers, local florists said, we don't want to deliver to her. They had to go, like, way far away from where Jessica lived in order to get flowers to her. So she makes a reference to that.
We were just showing some pictures of angry parents who were very loudly talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and saying the Pledge of Allegiance in this meeting that clearly became very, full of anger. What do you make of the hostility that's come out around this? You've gotten death threats, is that correct?
That's correct.
And?
It's been really difficult, obviously, just to constantly have this feeling of hatred towards me in my community. The meeting itself was difficult. But it's kind of what's been going on for a long time now. And, I think I'm ready for it at this point. But you never really get used to hearing about how bad you are, really. It always hurts. And the death threats, obviously, have always hurt my feelings. I've just kind of gotten to a point where I can cope with it. It's not so much that I'm you know, okay with it happening, but I'm able to cope with it now.
There's a congressperson, state rep, who, Peter Palumbo, and he said this about you. He said, you are an evil little thing, and you've had to have a police escort take you to school. Have you responded to him?
I haven't responded to him directly, but the response so far to that comment has, it's almost a bit of a mockery. I feel it's immature and inappropriate for a state representative, who represents me also, by the way, to be calling me something as petty as an evil little thing. And so while it does kind of hurt a bit, we've kind of turned it into a joke.
I've heard about and that. I've got a friend who's who's now co-opted the phrase. I hope you've trademarked that evil little thing, right, and turned into T-shirts that he's selling so that you can help fund your college education. Is that right?
That is right. There's a website where people have been purchasing the T-shirts, and I've seen lots of people at the meeting wore them, and people take pictures of themselves wearing them and post them to Facebook so I can see. And I think it's really cute. And in a lot of ways, I think his little comment has kind of backfired, because now we're using it as a positive thing. You know, it's almost a way of saying that people stand with me. Just go.
So that's a huge change from what happened several years ago. So we need to keep that going. So how can you help at this point? I want to go back to this chart. This is nice. It's good to see that growth. That's not nearly enough considering the number of high schools in this country. Raise your hand if you're a college student right now. That's a lot of you. You guys know people who went to your high school. You have friends who are probably still in high school. Help them start a group. Get them going. You know how to do it if you're a part of this. If you're here, you know kind of what it takes. If you don't know what it takes, talk to JT. Talk to Liz. They'll help you get these groups started and running. Because all we want is a chance for these groups to kind of get established. Last year, I actually had a few of my own students who know me pretty well. Obviously, I don't talk about atheism in the classroom, but I had a couple students come up to me and they said, we want to start an atheist group. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna keep a 10-foot distance away because I don't want anyone thinking I'm the one leading the charge here. But I'm like, okay, well, if you need help, I'll be glad to support you. You tell me what you need, but you realize, like, this has to be all you. It has to be the students taking the charge here. And in the back of my head, I was wondering, I wonder what they plan to do with an atheist club. Because I guess part of that gingerbread man mentality was kind of still in my head, where I'm thinking, what do they want? Do they want to, like, poke fun at religion? Is that what they want to do with the club? I didn't say that, but in the back of my head, I'm like, what do high school atheists want to do? And without me prompting them at all, they said, well, we figure we just want to have a discussion about religion and what people believe. We want to decrease the stigma that atheists have at our school because we're in a pretty religious community. And basically, we want to do a lot of community service because we figure that's a good thing to do. I'm like, oh, my God, like, that's amazing. By all means, get it started. I'm willing to help. I'll do whatever I can. We'll see if that club takes off. But there's no reason it's me. There's no reason it can't be any of you doing the same thing. Please help those students get these groups started so that something like Nicole doesn't happen again, so we can kind of defeat that whole gingerbread man mentality. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But otherwise, thank you.
Yeah, just line up down here if you have questions.
Sorry.
Hello.
Out of curiosity, what school do you teach at?
I teach at Neuqua Valley High School. It's
Neuqua Valley. I've actually heard of that place. I go to IMSA, which is nearby.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, actually, Michael, who just introduced me, is a graduate there. I think there's another graduate here, too. But, yeah, it's a big public school in the western suburbs of Chicago.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was wondering what these lawsuits on church-state separation issues in the schools, how do we strike a balance between punishing officials that are breaking the law and not punishing students inadvertently?
You know, sometimes, you know, it's very tempting if you're a student at the school who knows these things are wrong. You don't want to get in trouble with your family, with your friends. But the biggest thing is, and I'm sure Freedom From Religion Foundation can tell you the same thing, the problem is not that people are afraid to call them out on this stuff. The problem is the groups that can really help them and lead the way so that the students don't get in trouble. Because, I mean, what do we say? Students, start a lawsuit. They don't know how to do that. But the groups can help them. People can help them get the word out. We don't know these things are happening. So the best thing to do is, hey, if you notice something's going on that you know is wrong, you could, and if you're not sure it's wrong, fine, contact a group like FFRF and tell them, this is what's happening at my school. I don't think this is right. Can you please look into this? And I'm sure they'll look into it. You know, provide them with whatever evidence you can that something's going on. Take pictures if you need to, or send emails or whatever. They'll take care of it for you. You can be in it. In most cases, you should be able to remain anonymous, especially if you're a minor. A lawyer may be able to correct me on that. But it's you don't have to put yourself on the line to stop a bad practice from happening.
Hey there. I work at a school in the Anoka Hennepin District in Minnesota, and I actually help advise the GSA club there. And what I've found is in the school year is that I'd say at least half our meetings we end up talking about religion. And so I know that there's enough people there at the school to form a club like this, but obviously I can't start it because I'm a faculty member.
Right.
So should I just be, if I wanted to support the kids who maybe wanted to start one, should I just provide them with information or...
I'm sure there's a way that a group leader, someone can say, like, look, there's a group for Gay Straight Alliance. That's awesome. Have a student do it. I mean, sure, I'm sure in the realm of all the resources possible, I know Secular Student Alliance has resources available for those students. And it says, here's how you could start a group. Those resources are out there. You're right. It's a very fine line between, you know, here's these people interested, but you don't want to implicate yourself. You don't want to tell them to start
right.
the group. I totally understand that. Find out if there's interest. If they ask you, you can answer their question. I mean, I wouldn't do it during a class, but hey, if it's during like a meeting of that school, and they're asking you about things, about how to start a group or how to have these discussions, I don't think it's anything illegal to tell them about the resources out there for them.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. There's no further questions.
Cool, if you have any other questions, feel free to contact me. Thank you.